waiting for the bell. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Beautiful day it is, and there is more than ample room to social distance this morning. But we're glad that you are all here on our Christmas day. Just another beautiful day to come and worship the Lord. So God bless you. As you see in the bulletin, the offering today is for our care center here in Menno. And, of course, the checks, as usual, go to the church, and then we write one check to the care center. So, also Sunday, we don't have Sunday school classes this Sunday, but church will be at regular time, 10:30. I just wanted to say, again, thanks, and I know there's not a lot here, but thanks to all that worked so hard for the Christmas Eve program last night. It was beautiful, and so happy to have it, and we'll get it on the website in a couple days. Otherwise, also, I don't know if there's any kids or youth. Well, we've got a couple youth that were not here last night. You can grab a Christmas sack on the way out if there's any others that weren't here. We do. There's two that have no peanuts in it, and then there's probably about 10 that have the peanuts and everything in it. So on the way out, make sure you get one. Otherwise, I will let you read the rest of the announcements as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made, this day that we on earth call Christmas, that has been set aside around the world to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And we are excited about this day, Father. We'd not only celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, we celebrate your life, Jesus, and we greatly anticipate your second coming, which is certainly closer than ever. And so, Father, as we're gathered here in this sanctuary, we know that you are with us by the power of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And we ask, as always, that you move among us, fill this sanctuary with your presence and your glory, and your power. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ann and Nathan are going to light the Advent and candles and the Christmas candle today.
Merry Christmas. Today we will be looking at a prophecy from the prophet Hosea. In Hosea, we see a picture of Christ's great love for his church, just as Hosea unconditionally loved his wife, Gomer.
Our scripture reading today will be from the prophet Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me.
Today, as we relight the four Advent candles, we are reminded of the words spoken through the prophets Micah, Hosea, and Jeremiah, each one prophesying about events surrounding the birth of Christ. Now on this Christmas day, we give praise to our Heavenly Father for the gifts of his Son, Jesus Christ. For you see, as just at the right time, we are still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. Now we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, your love for us is so amazing. You truly are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. You do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For your word tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is your love for those who fear you. Lord God, help us to show your love to one another, just as you have shown unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anne and Nathan. We're going to sing Joy to the World, number 270, for our opening hymn, so let's stand together.
The Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, flocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Amen. Our God reigns and he rules. Well, give each other a high five or greeting, however you want, before you're seated. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful prelude music. Yes, yeah, so I just have a couple things here written down. And one, it's always special. We have Amanda Stewart with us, Diane Herbold's mother. And today is her birthday, her should be 91st birthday, right? Happy birthday, Amanda. And of course, prayers for Carmen Taylor as she gets deployed here very soon, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. So be praying for Randy and Carmen and Raylin and the family during her deployment. Anything else today? Joy to have family here from Iowa. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We went to visit him yesterday. A couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half, he got that halo off, and he had an MRI this week, and it looks awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Good. He's just trying to keep that leg, you know, on the up and up, but he's finally seems like he's turned the corner.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, an update on Myron Holsworth. He had that halo on for, I don't know, a couple months or more. 2.5 months. He got that off recently, and they did an MRI, and that all looks great, so we praise the Lord for that. There's still healing that's happening in his leg, so, but thank you for that update. Okay, let's bow our heads then. Father, thank you again for this Christmas day. Such an exciting day, and as I said, family here visiting. It's wonderful to have. We thank you for Amanda's 91st birthday today, and what a joy it is that for many years she has been with us on Christmas Day, her birthday. And so thank you for blessing her and watching over her. Lord, for Myron Holsworth, we just rejoice in the progress that's being made in his healing, and we thank you for it. And to you we give all the glory, Jesus, because you are our great physician. Lord, we know there's many more who are in the hospitals around our region and nation and who are in desperate need of your healing touch. And so we lift them up. You know them all by name. And as we do that, we continue to pray over our healthcare workers, whether it's in a hospital setting or clinic or care center or whatever the setting might be. Just continue to give them strength in the midst of trying times. And thank you for watching over them and our nation as well, as we pray for healing in our nation physically. Oh, more than that, we pray for healing spiritually across this land. Healing of hearts, Lord, repentance, lives and minds that are turned towards you and your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you for our troops, many serving abroad on this Christmas day who cannot be with their families. We lift them up. We think of Troy Heckenleibel especially and Derek Fisher and many others, Lord. And we ask that you be with them and their families. We pray for Carmen Taylor as she's deployed tomorrow and those that will go with her. Watch over them. Keep them safe as well. We thank you for all these things, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:15, a very short verse, but so very powerful. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I've had sermons before on that word indescribable. It is the only time that word is used in the Greek, in all of the New Testament, I'll say it that way, in the Greek language. The only time. And there's many indescribable, a gift too wonderful for words. I didn't write down some of the other translations, but it's pretty amazing. That word reserved for Jesus Christ. And we celebrate him. So as I said, the offering goes to our care center. If you want to stand, we will sing the Christmas doxology today. It's in your bulletin, or the words, I think, will be on the screen as well. Praise him who in the manger lay on that first joyful Christmas day. Praise him for all his wondrous love, who came to us from heaven above. And we do praise you, Father, and we praise you, Jesus. Thank you that you laid aside all of the glory of heaven. You took on flesh and blood to live among us, to be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, and to be our Savior, to take our place. We thank you. Lord, as we give today, this offering towards our care center here in Menno. We thank you. We are blessed to have such a wonderful facility in our community. We know it has been a difficult year there, as well as all the care centers and assisted livings. But we thank you that you are faithful. We ask that these gifts will be used, Lord, for needs that are there in many, many ways, that you would multiply these gifts for whatever is needed, and we thank you for it. And bless all that work there, all that live there, and the family members of who have loved ones in our care center during these challenging times. We thank you, Lord, for watching over that place in Jesus' name. And Lord, today we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Yeah, just, I give them out again. I'm giving them. Hello. Well, I'm glad to see there's a few kids here. Well, is it time yet?
Yeah.
Yes, finally we can say it is time. Time to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Did you get to do, how many of you were here last night for the program? Pretty much everybody? Yeah, it was really neat, wasn't it? I can't wait to watch it again. You did so well. Did you have any presents to open last night or today?
Today.
Tell me one gift you got.
Makeup?
Boots?
Crayon case?
Little stuff and you spread it around. All right, that sounds fun. Hot Wheels track. Hot Wheels. Do you want to see? Gizmo watch.
Nintendo Switch.
Little robot. Robot. Do you want to see? No. Okay, well, those are all really great things.
I know what I got.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, what did you get? Marie. That is really cool. You got your Minnie Mouse shirt or your sweater?
Sweater.
Oh, it's very pretty, very warm. You got one too. Nice. They're all fun to open gifts. But as you all know, the best gift we could ever have is Jesus. That's right. And we've been talking about Jesus. We said that God sent Jesus at just the right time to come into the world. And we talked about Abraham, how God told Abraham, go away from all this sin and follow me, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your descendants, your children and children and children, and on and on. And guess who came from that line? Jesus. He came from that line. And then the angels told who? That they were going to have a baby.
Shepherds.
Uh-huh. And before that, though, an angel told Mary, Elizabeth, and then Joseph, right? That there was going to be a baby. And today we celebrate Jesus' birthday. But do you guys think that was the first time that Jesus was ever around, was when he came as a baby?
No.
No, you are so right. In the Bible, it tells us in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us, and the Word is Jesus. He was always. He's always there. And it's hard to kind of picture that, you know, Jesus was always there with God. He is God. But then he came as a baby. But we just believe it, right? We just believe it. Does your mom ever tell you, do this or do that because I said so?
Yeah.
Right? Without giving you a reason, they say, because I said so, you better do that, right? Well, we believe because God told us. We believe in all that. Right, and it's hard to understand, but the reason that God sent Jesus was to what? On Easter, what do we celebrate? To die for us, to die for our sins. Because you remember Adam and Eve? They sinned, sin came into the world, sin gets passed down, and we need a Savior. Someone who had no sin, who came to earth, who lived, and who died for us. And who's that? Jesus, that is Jesus, and he's the best gift we could ever have. Because not only did he die for our sins, so we don't have to pay for them, but one day we're going to live, where? In heaven, and that's going to be so awesome. And not only that, while we're on earth, he lives in us, and he'll help us to do whatever we need to do, all right? So let's remember that. And let's say God, and why did God, he sent Jesus to die for us, and we find that in John 3:16. Let's say that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's the greatest gift. Now let's pray, and after that, don't get too excited, because these are the same things that we were given out last Sunday. But I know some of you weren't here, and those that were here can get another one. And you can, you can give it away if you want to some friend or somebody, okay? Or you can keep it. Let's pray.
I don't know where mine went.
Oh, you can get another one, okay? All right. Let's pray. Ready? Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful for this day that we celebrate your birth. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes on you, no matter how hard our situations are these days, no matter how sad we may feel, no matter how lonely we may feel, no matter anything, we know you are with us, and you're going to help us through it all. Bless these boys and girls today and the rest of their vacation. Help them to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
While the children are going back, while the children are going back to their seats, let's sing 281, What Child Is This? Let's bow our heads, please, once more. Yes, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the King. We give you all glory, laud, and honor. We sing our highest praises to you, Jesus, you who are our wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the government is upon your shoulders, and you rule from heaven above, and you reign in our hearts and in our lives. And through your word, Lord, as you speak to us, every time we look into it, and every time you bring verses of scripture to our mind from our spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God, you speak to us. And thank you for today, Lord, for the prophecies of your word that have been fulfilled, for those that we are still waiting to be fulfilled. We know they will be at the right time, at the exact time, and we have great confidence in that. So, Lord, I ask as always for you to speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 2 is where we are at. I'll start reading in verse 13 through 18, Matthew chapter 2. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. That's the wise men, if we'd back up. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now I want to read two more verses. They're not on the screen, but verse 19, it goes on. It says, "After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.'" Amen. So I had intended to start these prophecies on the first Sunday of Advent, but as you know, I had to miss the first and second Sunday of Advent. So we are really on the third one now. In Matthew chapter 1 and 2, there are five prophecies talking about the birth of Christ in those first year and a half of his life. Chapter 1 is the virgin birth. Chapter 2, where we were last Sunday, those first verses, he was to be born in Bethlehem. Micah the prophet prophesied that 700 years before. It had to be. Today, the third prophecy, their flight from Bethlehem into Egypt is what we're going to look at here. So, of course, we know backing up to the first verses of Matthew there, the wise men, they show up in Bethlehem. They had probably traveled, it is believed, for at least a year to get there. They show up in Jerusalem. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Herod, a very wicked, a very jealous, insecure king. He was threatened by that, and so he calls the chief priests and teachers of the law. Where is the one who is to be born King of the Jews? Well, they knew instantly. The prophet Micah says, in Bethlehem. They quoted it right to him. So he tells the wise men, go down there to Bethlehem, make careful search. If you find him, come back, let me know. So what? So that I can worship him also. Which we know that was the last thing Herod was going to do. And it was Satan working through Herod already at that time to try to destroy Jesus' life as a baby. So today, verse 12, the wise men, they go, they see, they worship the Christ child, they present him with the gifts, and they are warned in a dream, verse 12, not to go back to Herod, but to return to their country by a different route. Verse 13, after they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Note, if you notice, like especially around the birth of Christ, there's so many angelic appearances, but it always says an angel of the Lord. It's not the angel of the Lord, because the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, is lying in the manger in a flesh and blood body. I talked about that recently, the several appearances in the Old Testament when Jesus came, appeared as a man, but he was not. He looked like he had a flesh and blood body, but he did not. It was just his appearance for that moment, and then he'd return, okay? But now, so an angel appears to Joseph in a dream after the wise men left. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. How would Joseph and Mary ever have known that? Ever had a clue that that was going to happen? by this time, when the wise men show up, you have to realize they had already, in the very early days of Jesus' life, they had been back to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord, as was commanded in the law of the Old Testament. And if you remember, this would be in Luke, we find all this, that they get to the temple, and who's, I didn't reread this, but there's Anna, the prophetess, and there is Simeon. Thinking Anna was first, but I could be wrong. Could be the other way. Anyway, they both prophesy over the Christ child. Amazing things are said when he's just in the first month or so of his life. And they're taking these words in. It says, while Mary pondered all these things in her heart, you know, they're trying to grasp this, even with the prophecy of Elizabeth and these things. So why would they think that anybody's going to try to kill him? They wouldn't. But God had his plan and his time, and he was going to see to it that it all came as exactly as it was supposed to. And so he's appearing in these dreams to these people. The angels are appearing. Get up, Joseph, take your family, the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, because Herod is going to search for him to kill him. When we see Joseph here, what he was a man of obedience, and God knew that. Verse 13, get up. This is in the night. Get up. Verse 14, so he got up. He did it, right? A lot of times we're just not so sure when God tells us things through his word. Takes us a while. But Joseph obeyed. So he got up, took the child, verse 14, and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. So how about this escape to Egypt? From Bethlehem just to the border of Egypt was 40 miles. What I read in a commentary was then from the border of Egypt to get to where there would be any sizable population was another 100 miles. Think of that. I guess they probably had the donkey, but that's it. With the baby, Jesus would have been between 1 and 2 years old during this time. So that helps a little bit. But as I was working through this, I guess my mind, of course, so often goes back to our time with the Navajos, as you know. There was a time, this was before we were married, but Ann was helping at the church there at Cameron, and of course Nathan was there too, and we decided we were going to take our youth group to Havasupai, which the Havasupai are a small tribe of Native Americans, 500-600 in the tribe, and they live in the very west end of the Grand Canyon. Down in the bottom of the canyon is their village. So we were going to take our youth group. I don't know how many, was there a dozen kids, you suppose? So from Cameron, though, to get to the rim of there was at least a 4-hour drive. We went in the summer. It was very hot in the desert. And we had our plan that we would get to the rim of that canyon, because the only way down in there, by the way, so it was a 9-mile hike. You hiked it. You rented a horse or a donkey from some of the tribal members, or you rented a helicopter to get you down in there and back out. Well, we didn't have money for that, and we didn't have money for a horse or donkey, so we wanted to get to the rim about midnight, was the plan, which we did, and hike down through the night. And, of course, we weren't following whether it was a full moon or not, but amazingly enough, it was. So we had the light of the full moon all the way, started at midnight, hiking down. The first mile or so was the switchback, mile or two, and then after that it leveled out, but it was, you know, rugged going, and we got there to the village first, the Havasupai village, about 6:30 in the morning, and here we come. They're all still in bed, except all the dogs. Whoa, we're like, we are waking up this whole village. And people are looking out their windows at us. And thankfully, all of our kids were Navajo. Was Nathan with us on that or not? I don't think so. He was probably too young. They were all Navajo, so that did help, certainly. And we had to go to this certain place in the village when it opened up to register so we could be there. And then, but so that 9 miles from midnight, it was, you know, 6.5 hours that took us hiking down in there. And then 2 miles further to where we wanted to go, there is the river, forget which river, that flows through this. It's not the Colorado, it's a tributary of it. That is turquoise in color, at least it was 25, 28 years ago, because we weren't married. Clear turquoise color, if you could imagine. 3 waterfalls. I mean, it is beautiful. And we camped there 2 or 3 nights with the kids, swam, explored, and everything. And the problem was, on the way down, one of the girls had a very difficult time on that hike down and was crying. So in those 2 days, Ann and I were talking, okay, how are we going to get this girl out of here? If she could barely make it down, coming out's going to be double hard. So we did rent 2 horses. We had money to do that. Put all our packs on one of the horses, put this girl, Tanya, on the other horse, and away we went and hiked out in the heat of the day. But I think about that, and when I read this, how they had to flee in the night and how long it took on that journey to get them into Egypt far enough to go. Now, why Egypt? Well, number one, because God had prophesied it 700 years before. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. Had to be. It had to be. Secondly, we see with the wise men coming, their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that was provision for them. Those were all 3 very valuable things. The gold, we know. The frankincense and myrrh was very valuable, both of them. Help them to live. How long did they live there? Most commentaries I looked, they believe 3 years at max, 3 years. One said, well, maybe just a year. So you have some differences on there, but 3 years seemed to be the more common belief. So we know 19 and 20, well, after Herod died again, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream again in Egypt and says, get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And Joseph obeyed and he goes. You know, what can we learn from that right there, just real quick? When God tells you to do something, maybe a transition in life, whatever it is, then you do it until he tells you not to do it or until he gives you other direction, which happens, right? Joseph stayed there until. Now, do we get angelic appearances? Very, very, very rarely. Could we have a dream? Yeah, God can still speak through dreams today. But if he does, number one, you got to know it's going to line up with his word. It's not going to be some whacked out thing, okay? Secondly, you are going to know it. You are going to know it is from the Lord. Not, that dream, was that from God? Or maybe I had too much pizza the night before, or whatever, I don't know. No, you're going to know it, okay? So let's come here to Hosea, because that is where this prophecy is found. In Hosea. Hosea is the first minor prophet in the Old Testament after the major prophets. Chapter 11, verse 1. Listen. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, here it is, out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to Baals, that's the false gods. They burned incense to the images. It was I, God says, who taught Ephraim to walk, taking him by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. God is saying, so, if you just are reading Hosea and you came at chapter 11 and verse 1 and weren't really familiar with the prophecy in Matthew, you probably would not think, wow, I wonder if that's talking about Jesus right there. I wouldn't. But when we see the prophecy in Matthew fulfilled, then we know it was talking, yes, about Jesus. So with the prophecies of the Old Testament, you have to know there was something going on right then that it was that it pertained to. There was something many times anyway in the future yet to come to pass, and sometimes it was also looking back. So you got three things really going on in this prophecy, and I'm trying to make it sort of quick here. One, Hosea was long after Moses and the people of Israel were in Egypt for 400 years in bondage. But one thing, it's pointing back to that time when they were slaves in Egypt, because Egypt is a type of bondage, and Israel, yes, was God's people. So he's saying there, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. That's speaking generally as the nation of Israel. Then it is also talking about Hosea's life right then, okay? Hosea, so why Hosea? Here's some blanks coming up, letter A. Hosea is preaching judgment to the people of Israel that are so involved in idolatry. Idolatry. So when I say Israel, though, with Hosea, that's, you gotta, I'm trying not to get so technical here, but you have to realize by this time, Israel had separated. 10 tribes, northern kingdom equals Israel. 2 tribes out of the 12, southern kingdom, Judah. Hosea is a prophet to the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and they had gone way off the deep end. After you have King Saul, King David, King Solomon, each 40 years, and then it split. Remember Rehoboam, Solomon's son? He had the 2 tribes, Judah. Jeroboam had the 10 tribes. And there was not one godly king over those 200 years of the northern tribes of Israel. Not one. And God would raise these prophets up to speak to them about their sin, their idolatry, trying to tell them. They wouldn't listen. He does the same today to nations, to our nation. He does the same today. He has ministers that have a broad voice across the nation. You think of Franklin Graham, different ones that are speaking today. Some listen, many don't. We pray. So that Hosea, all right? Hosea, letter C, he marries this woman called Gomer, and she turns out to be a prostitute. And she is so unfaithful to him, as she would be. But the picture is the same way here as Israel was being in their relationship with God, worshiping false gods, they're prostituting themselves to other false gods instead of the one true God. The same way we can do if God is not number one in our lives. But in spite of this, let her see what Gomer is doing. You know what? Hosea loves her. He deeply loves her, and he actually follows her around, is still providing for her needs in the midst of her unfaithfulness, what she is doing. He's doing that. And finally, in desperation, by God's word prompting, he goes to the black market of prostitution. He goes to that black market and buys her back because of his love for her. You see the picture coming of Jesus? He bought her back. It reminds me of today, we hear so much in our world of the human trafficking. It happens in our nation, sadly. It happens in our state. It happens around the world. I think Lee Heckenleibel, I think, has a cousin that goes over to, I don't know if it's Thailand, but one of those countries over there with a group of people as a ministry where there is a horrible, horrible amount of human trafficking. And they find these places, and they go in there, and they buy these, probably mostly young girls, but probably young boys too. They buy them out of that. Relocate them to a different part of the country to save them. Isn't that amazing? To save their lives. So this is what Hosea's doing. Letter D, let's come to that. In the midst of all this, you can imagine Hosea's heart, how broken it was. His dreams wrecked by Gomer's unfaithfulness. And it's as in the midst of this, God is saying, Hosea, now you know how I feel. For it was out of Egypt I called my son, okay? Yes, Israel coming out of bondage literally in Egypt, but also it's pointing ahead. He's saying to Hosea, you went to the depths of that black market of prostitution to buy your wife back to you. And so did I with my own son. He went down into the slave market of sin, this world, to buy us back, Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about here. That's what it's about. That is Christmas. The message of Christmas right there. We sing it, I say this often, the song, Here I Am to Worship, Light of the World, Jesus, right? You stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. And on that goes. He did. Do you think this world was a pleasant place when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? It was not. Under the Roman Empire, cruel. They ruled harshly. If you didn't go along with something, you were dead. That was just it. There was very little mercy at that time when Jesus was born into this world. But that's Christmas. God stepping down into the slave market of sin through his only begotten son, who he loved. And he loved us. For as Anne had the children say, for God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5:8, what does it say? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The message of Christmas. He came. We had no way. We were slaves in bondage to sin. We had no way to free ourselves. But Jesus did. He came and took our place. And it's beautiful. God is always the one who initiates his love for us. He is always the one who has and does takes the first step towards us for our salvation. And here we are today because of it on this Christmas day to worship him. Out of Egypt. Egypt is always a type of sin and bondage and slavery. He has called us out of that through his son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your plan of redemption is incredible. You have known it from eternity past. It has come to pass, and we are here today because you have set us free and you have drawn us to yourself. You have opened our eyes and let us see the glory of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we thank you for that. Father, there are many who do not know on this Christmas day, but yet they hear the message all around. They hear the message in the songs that are sung. And we pray, Lord, for the lost, that you would open the eyes of their understanding, that they would see Jesus, who you are and why you came, and they would respond by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I imagine in this sanctuary here today, we all have family members who do not know you, and we pray for them. And thank you for working in their hearts and lives and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 258, go tell it on the mountain. Now, kids, I want to hear you sing this like you sang it last night, right? Let's stand together. 258, this is why we go. This is why we have to tell the message that Jesus Christ is born. tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a Merry Christmas today. Thanks, Jennifer, for the music.